Hello, everyone. Welcome. Welcome to Media Mentoring with my dear friend, Lisa Garr. Hi, Lisa.
Hi, Catherine. I love this. This is my happy space.
This is your happy, well, this is our happy space to have you. We feel so fortunate.
I love it. Especially
the way you've been really deepening into these distinctions, and we get to be the beneficiaries of that. Thank you so much. Everybody, I really want to introduce you properly to Lisa. She has an extraordinary life and career, and I think what I'm most proud of is the extraordinary impact she's had on consciousness worldwide. She's a real key player. I'm very moved to have you with us today. Lisa's been hosting a daytime radio show since 1999 called The Aware Show. And then she went also and did a radio show on Hay House, Being Aware. Are you still doing that?
They're still airing my shows. They have
They air your shows, but yeah. They're reruns. You're not actually doing it all the time
right now, yeah, because they're restructuring into podcasting, which is all good.
Okay, good. And Gaia TV.
Yes.
Which I had the good fortune of being on.
Yes, you did. One episode of that
Gaia TV.
Yes.
Called Lisa's Inspirations.
Yes.
And she's a regular on Coast to Coast AM, which is syndicated to over 600 stations around the world.
Yes.
And, you know, what she's doing is she's bringing consciousness to the masses. She's bringing everything that's leading edge, everything that we're talking about, transformation, healing, miracle making, the consciousness of miracles. And she's making that accessible to people who've never heard of this before. And she's growing people who are on the path and creating tribe around this. She's the number one best-selling author of a book called Becoming Aware, How to Repattern Your Brain and Revitalize Your Life, which happened after she had a traumatic brain injury, which maybe she'll tell you a little bit about. And we were just having dinner together recently, and she was chatting about how she's creating this media mentoring program. Now, Lisa's always been focused on the story. She's creating this media mentoring program. And I said, would you come and do like a workshop with us?
And she said, yes. It's my honor. I really, really love doing this. As I said, it's my happy place. And I know that everyone has a message that is their mission, and they want to figure out how to turn that message into their mission. And it's kind of like, you know, looking back on my life and my story, it was as if God tapped me and said, this is going to be what your dharma is. You're going to be raised in an entertainment family. And Terry Garr is my aunt, and I have my grandmother, her mom's original Radio City Music Hall Rockette. Vaudeville, both grandparents, fathers played vaudeville. I mean, lot of entertainment like in my blood. So I started off in production, and that wasn't working out so great because it was really not my purpose. I didn't know it, but it was a real grind. And then I went mountain biking with some friends in production, in the you know, the couple of directors and ADs, crazy people. They worked on Mad TV. I don't know if you remember that show. Way back in the day, right?
Right.
And we went, you know, they got me into mountain biking, and that one thing led to another. Find myself in this mountain bike race, California State Championship. I'm second overall in the state. Don't know how that happened, but it wound up happening. The last and final race happened to have been, and it was a 7-race series, but this one was 108 degrees, 5,000 feet of climbing, and it was 24 miles. And I, right before the end, right before the last final descent and the finish line, completely passed out on the bike. No memory of it. Must have hit my head on a rock because my helmet was shattered. They found that later. I was airlifted out of that scene, failing completely. And I suffered a very traumatic brain injury that has taken me my lifetime to heal. Mm-hmm. And as a result of that, I had this incredible near-death experience during that experience where I Wow. I it's 20 years ago and I still feel it was total expanded consciousness. Every single thing, everything is connected. Everything. All of us on this call, all of our hopes and dreams seamlessly connected. Manifestation isn't something that's out there, it's right here. And I experienced that in that traumatic brain injury experience, near death, whatever you want to call it, out of body. Wow. Changed my whole life. And then I started the Aware Show, and it's now, you know, it reaches millions of people monthly. And I am so grateful. I'm so grateful for that experience. I never could have known I was, because at the time my life was a total mess. I was going the wrong direction. And that trajectory was going wrong way. And when I had that experience, I really realized the connectedness that we all are. And when we separate ourselves from our heart, from our love, from our consciousness, all pain is caused from the separation of self. And that is what I've learned. And so every interview I do, every person I interview, as brilliant as they are, I re-experience that level of connectedness to self, and that emanates throughout the world, and it plants seeds all over the world and mm-hmm. allows people the space to be able to have that same level of connection.
Wow.
And so that's what I have been doing. And take a little bird's eye view of what I just did. I just told you my story, exactly how you are going to tell your story. I told you a beginning, a middle, and a where I am now going into the future. I took my message and I'm making it my mission.
And can I just add that you inspired us as you did it?
That's the whole point. Yes, that's the whole point. And everyone listening, a message, a mission that they want to be able to share with the world. And, you know, you might be a relationship coach, you might be a coach in Catherine's amazing program, and you have a story to share that will make that ability for you to connect with your clients, to get more clients, and those that resonate with you, build trust, all of that. And it comes from the very thing that you are. You don't have to make it up. You don't have to go on stage and read from notes. It's who you are. And I have, you know, interviewed over 4,000 people. I have heard so many stories, and I can tell you when it's done right, and I can tell you when it's not done right. And I know what works when it's done right and what works when it's not done right. So I had to break it down and say, please, people, we need you. We need you. We need you to tell your story. We need you to motivate us on the ground, and we need warrioresses to be able to help the world. This is a critical time at this point. And that's the, you know, just connecting what you do to help people on this planet. We need new thought, consciousness leaders, practitioners more than we ever have before. We're in that time now. So that's why I'm doing this now, Catherine, is to really inspire people to bring their message to their mission and to allow other people to connect to you and then help them navigate through the world.
Wow. I think that we can't emphasize the value of story well told enough, because it creates a heart connection.
Yes.
With the person who's there. And that's why they trust us. That's why they come to us. Something moves them when we speak truth from our hearts and from that sweet spot of hope and inspiration. And we're giving like what's genuine in our own experience to them. Something opens up for them. I kind of got captivated by your saying, I know what doesn't work. I really want to hear today. Oh. What should you not do?
What, oh my God.
What causes it to not work?
So many things. First of all, number one, you've got to know your audience. You have to know who you're speaking to. Are you, and by the way, speaking with.
Right.
And you have to know who's listening, who can really benefit the most from your experience. Are you speaking with people who are newly separated? Are you speaking with people who are looking for the loved one? Are you speaking to both? You know who you are speaking with, and that helps a lot to be able to resonate and connect with them. The other big mistake that even seasoned authors make is they start with the end. They start with the end story. Yes, I'm a best-selling author, 40 books in print, 50 million languages, and here I am. Yeah, and you know, how can I relate to you? How can I relate with where you came from and who you are? Because that story made them write the 40 books and connect with the people around the world. And I want to know your heart. I want to know who you are and why you got to where you are. So the biggest thing you in finding your story is connecting with your why. There's two things we're going to talk about today, why and goal. And then I'm going to show you a little story graph on how to choreograph, because I see every interview that I do like a, you know, this is geeky, I'm geeking out here, but it is like a swan lake for me. It tells a story in a beautifully choreographed way that doesn't feel choreographed, that reveals itself, and you follow and you go along the journey with the two, and you it untangle this mystery. And I know I'm geeking out, but that's the way I see you telling your story, is to allow people to walk the journey with you and to be there with you. And then to go through the hero's journey with you, because then they have been through it too. And then to take them into the future with you, which is how they work with you. Okay. So, so why are you doing what you're doing? Why are you a relationship coach? Why are you in Catherine's program? What is your experience? Did you come in with this being your biggest dharma, is to figure out relationship? And this is, you know, everything else, it's relationship has been your albatross and you've got to figure this out. What story did you come from? A lot of people say, well, I don't know my story. Well, this is one of the things that I do, is to chunk it into, and if you can, chunk your life into three parts: beginning, middle, and future. So the beginning, I would say, is the first 20 years of your life. Where were you raised? What did you go through? What were some of the really big definitions that you made about yourself, labels that were given to you by other people, or experiences you decided that you were this way? It doesn't have to be true, of course. You know, someone maybe calls you overweight and all of a sudden you've labeled yourself fat the rest of your life and you have weight challenges. Those are the experiences, the childhood experiences that we go through, and labels get stuck on us that aren't ours. And those are impactful moments in our life. And we've all had them. We've all gone through them. Now, the key in that point, in that first 20 years of your life, when you're telling that story, it's very important not to elicit pain. And the reason that we choreograph this is so you don't get stuck there. So you don't get stuck in telling a story. Another big mistake that people make is that they wander. They start with the end, and then they go to the childhood, and they go to the journey, and then they go back to the end, and then to the childhood. The reason that we choreograph this is so that you can stay on track with the beginning and the middle and the end of, not the end, but the future of your story. So what happened? Not eliciting pain, explaining the story from an objective perspective. So my mother said, you know, I was interested in a boy. And my mother said, oh, you're so sleazy. You're never going to get the right guy if you act like that. Girls don't chase boys. And all of a sudden you've labeled yourself as promiscuous. Rest of your life turns out horribly, right? So that those moments you look at from an objective perspective when you're telling your story. Then there's the middle part,
which as opposed to getting overly victimized, as any sense of victimization in the story.
Correct.
Very
important.
You want to
come from a healed place in that,
right?
In telling your story at the same time as being able, you know, to relate to people. And that is a true story. I have a client who had that experience, and she has a tyrannical mother. And she thought she was a hypnotherapist, but what she really was doing is connecting with people who have tyrannical mothers and helping them heal.
Wow.
And using hypnotherapy. So this is the power of your story and how it can help people really unlock pain they don't even know they have. Okay, so yes, very important is not to go into it from the perspective of the story, but go from the objective healed space of that story. And then we've all gone through hero's journeys. We've all gone through that dark night of the soul. We've all gone through that place where we've realized that we're not the label that has been placed on us. We're not that person or whatever happened to us in this first few decades of our life. We have we're adulting and we have unraveled and we're in the process of unraveling. And that is why we do what we do now. Then you're going into this decade and future. This is what I do now. This is how I have healed this. This is how I've gotten to this place of realizing that I should help other people unravel their issues with relationships or find their true loved one, because I did. And I didn't, it wasn't always that way, but here's the journey I went through. Everyone's different, which is great. And then this is how I have healed it. Now, can you see how you won't need notes? I mean, this is your story. And then I have a really cool graph that I'll show you later that'll help you navigate all this.
So I have a question about, particularly calling in the one coaches, but I think also conscious uncoupling coaches, the end or the future. Yeah. I like that you're calling it the future.
Yes, yes.
Exactly. But, relationships are fluid. Sometimes our coaches are not in relationships. Sometimes they become a coach inside of a commitment to call in the one, and they're coaching without having completed that or fulfilled on that yet. And also, there's a lot of loss sometimes in an uncoupling, and maybe they haven't recreated life yet. How do you tell the future or the quote unquote end part when you haven't yet fulfilled your dream?
Oh, it's so great, because it doesn't have to be perfect. You're in the journey. You have figured out, the hero's journey is figuring out what you need to do and work on. And then that's why we call it the future, is you're a work in progress with this. That is why you're helping other people with this. And you're just a little step further from people who are in the pain and the loss and the devastation of it. And it's very important that you are their catalyst. You are their guide for that level of change, not from the, I've got it all figured out, I'm on a pedestal, because being on pedestals gives you too far to fall down. Had a great teacher tell me that once. And so you, of course, are relatable and in the mix with them, but you're coming just a little bit ahead so that you can guide them. You've got the flashlight and you're at the front, and you're going to show them the way through the dark path, because you've been just a few steps ahead of them, maybe a few miles. You've been there before in their journey, and you've figured a certain piece out that they can help you with. So that's a great question. And then you get to, here's how you can work with me, or here's the steps that we're going to do in this next coaching call, or, and here's, so I'm going to use Catherine as an example today. And she knows this. And I did this with you years ago on stage. And it was such a beautiful experience, because nobody could have written Catherine's story better than her. And you're in it. You're in the middle of the story. It's just incredible the way that you have, I've just watched you, and it's just incredible. You have this beautiful, beautiful story. So here we have an example of Catherine, who wrote Conscious Uncoupling as a result of your experiences and the conversation you were having in the kitchen with a friend. That then went into the lexicon. And it went through you going through these struggles of, wait, that was me, and this is my story, and this is the book, and this is my, this is what I run, at the same time as wanting to call in your one, wanting to call in your one. And there were so many times where you went through this hurdle and journey and story and hurdle and journey and story. And now you're at this place of finding an amazing, amazing relationship. I mean, you've been through so much, and you, above all people, are the right person to speak about this, above all people. So I was wondering if you could, we're going to go through this little story graph right here. Okay. I'm going to share my screen.
Okay.
Okay, so this is, let me go here. So this is a graph of what you're doing. You're going to, the title of your talk, and say Catherine's title would be from, we're just going to choose, right? I'm finding a title is my forte. I love finding titles.
You do, okay.
I love
I'll
it.
Let you do it then.
And it could be something from, you know, from searching to finding the one, something like that, or from broken to finding the one, or something like that, where you would find a title. If you could imagine it, what would it be?
Well, just playing on that, from heartbreak to fulfilling, to finding happy, healthy love.
Yeah. And the one, and calling in the one. Yeah.
I mean, the first thing that came to me is against all odds.
Oh, I love it. Ooh,
against all odds.
I have to get my little notebook here because I love it. Yeah, titles come out of the, when we do our session, they come out of it. They're so fun. I love finding titles.
Against all odds. And I always like that. I don't know if you like subtitles.
Well, for this purpose, this is going to be mostly geared towards somebody giving a talk or a presentation or speaking to a group of people on a summit and I've also, the same thing works with writing a book. The same thing works with TED Talks, mm-hmm. with business presentations, with all sorts of things. It maps across. So you find, and that title mostly is for you. And then you start by asking three questions. Have you ever experienced extreme heartbreak in your life? Have you ever gone through a very difficult separation with no guidance other than an attorney or mediator that made the experience very difficult? Have you wanted to go through bringing your kids into the experience of uncoupling in a more conscious way? So you ask three questions to the audience. You ask them, so you're right there, you're creating rapport. You're bonding with people. You're creating an identity with people that they trust you. And they know they're like, wait, she sees me. She hears me. She knows what I'm talking about, he or she. Mm-hmm. And okay, I'll listen. I'll listen to what you have to say. And then you go into this is how it was for me. I went through that. I had this experience of going through a breakup, and I have a daughter. I'm telling your story, Catherine. And we wanted our daughter to go through this experience with us because he's still a great guy and he's going to be in the rest of my life because we're co-parenting. And I wanted, you know, this happened and that happened and this happened and you went through that experience. You go ahead and start by telling that part of it.
Well, I think one of the questions is, have you ever been frustrated in love? Have you ever run up against the same old patterns again and again, no matter how hard you've worked? Have you ever wanted to just throw in the towel and just say, I'll just be celibate in this lifetime, or I'll just be alone. I'm fine alone. And, certainly that's how I felt for many years, and then I created this wonderful relationship and I was living happily ever after, and then 10 years and we got divorced and all those questions were up again for me.
Right there, that is your story, and that is gives me chills because now you are the best person in the world for me to listen to about this. You see,
because you walked into the room with those questions.
Yes.
Yeah.
You see,
or at least one of them.
Yes, yes. And now you get me and you see me and you know that who I am and, oh my goodness, I need to listen to her. And all of that happens as a result of that, which is so trust building. And it helps people feel seen and heard. Mm-hmm. And then you say, well, I went through this, and then you create kind of this, bullets so that you will memorize this in the future. But then you say, then I experienced conscious uncoupling. I had an experience one day where, now talk about your healing journey, Catherine.
And it could have gone the way that it went. You know, we unconsciously repeat our parents' patterns. So it could have just gone in this really nasty way because I'm the product of a bad divorce. Mark is a product of a bad divorce. But we had this moment where we looked at each other and said, wait a minute, you know, what about if we align on a shared intention that our daughter have a happy childhood?
Wow. You've solved 70% of the world's problems right there. Oh my God. Yeah. Right. Right. And so you, by asking the right question, idea or a conscious uncoupling, you wrote a book about it. And this again is why you're the right person to work with or listen to or read the book of or listen to the talk or be in the program or become a coach, because you have. And now this is what's possible. This is what I found is possible. And that goes into that third spot there of what is possible. This is what I found. And you don't have to have figured it out. I found this and I found this protocol and I found this works and then this and then I tried this, it didn't work, but then there's this. And that's where you layer in this piece of what is possible.
So it's great. So instead of like, I need an ending to the story, like, and now I'm happily married again. It's now what's possible is that everything I was able to learn in that journey of doing this really well and transitioning into a new form of partnership, I'm now capable of bringing into the relationship I have now. And what's possible is like so much more depth and so yes. much more connection and authenticity, and all the lessons I learned from that I now apply, so it's an even more beautiful experience.
Yes, absolutely. Yes. And so then that goes into this last piece is, how can I help you? How can I help?
So I am here to support you to be able to go turn your darkest nightmares into your dreams come true.
Yes.
You have the power to do that.
Yeah. Yes, absolutely. And here's my book or my talk or my service or my program or my this or my that. And what I've been doing with my clients is that we've gone through this, the program, and you really break down the story and work on it and get through everything. And many of my clients have taken this graph and then created a 2.5-3 minute video for their website or their Facebook page or done a Facebook Live where they remember this and they go through this story, this graph in their mind, and they tell their story and their journey in 2, 3, 4, 5 minutes.
Wow.
And they just let it live up there.
Wow.
It works for you. Mm-hmm. It works for attracting the right people who want to work with you, and it carries it to the next level. And it really helps more people in the world wake up and be conscious. And that's why I'm doing this. Yeah. And that's why I was like, this is my happy place, because it enables me to really help more people wake up in the world, which is ultimate journey and mission of the Aware Show.
Beautiful, Lisa. So can we invite someone to have the courage to work with you?
Yes. Right. So whoever wants to, you know, raise your hand and I can
raise your
help
hand.
You get your story.
I think you have to take the screen down so we can see.
I do.
Oh, Greg wants to. Greg is right in. Greg was awesome. Waiting for you to offer that. Hi, Greg.
Yay. Hi, Greg. Hi.
Hello.
Awesome. So tell me a little bit about you and about why you are doing what you're doing. What is your goal with this?
So my goal is to help parents, either still coupled or single parents or people who are looking at going through a divorce, to have the healthiest uncoupling possible for themselves and for the children.
And so my media brain says, who are you to know that story? Why you, Greg?
So 22 years ago, I was divorced with 4 children. And over that period of time, I became a single dad with 4 children. And back 22 years ago, divorces were contentious and they were combative. And ours was typical of that time. And we did not have a good working relationship. And as a matter of fact, my former partner moved 1,000 miles away to move home to live with her mom and to go back to where her teaching degree was valid and to have a job. And so right when the divorce took place, my children went 1,000 miles away. And She was married within 3 months of the divorce being final. The kids had a new stepdad, and I was traveling every 6 or 8 weeks via airplane and hotel to be the happy dad to maintain that contact with my children. I wound up going through bankruptcy. And fortunately, we had a clause in there that when the kids turned 12, they could decide where they wanted to live. And so eventually they all came to live with me. And so here I was, a single dad in New Jersey without any family in the state of New Jersey, without their mother. And I was being a single dad. And so I made many mistakes. I learned a lot of things the hard way. And recently, now 20 years later,
Wait, hold right there. So I learned a lot of things the hard way.
Exactly.
So your tendencies wanted to jump to the future. Let's go into the middle now. What did you learn? Tell me what I can learn from you. What was your, just a few, two or three things? I did this wrong, but I could have done it this way. I did
I didn't get to the punchline.
Oh,
but
sorry.
The punchline is that after 20 years, a year ago was the first time we got together as a family with my former wife and the four children, and we actually spent 5 or 6 days for Christmas together, and we did it again this year. And so through doing this work...
Hang on one second. That's a great punchline, and that's the third one. That's the what is the possibility.
It's so much more powerful.
You're skipping the middle, so take her coaching, okay? Just slow it down.
So you're in the middle of that story and I'm feeling for you and I'm believing you and I'm like, oh my God, this is, you see me now. That's your power place, Greg. That's your teaching moment. And if you were on stage, the way I've put out this choreography is actually your positioning on stage. You start off in the center. Imagine if you're in the center of the stage and you're asking your three questions. Then you move to the left of the stage, which is your past. Then you move to the center of the stage, which is your teaching center. This is your power position. This is your teaching moment. And then you move to the right of the stage of what is possible. And then you return to the center of the stage of how can I help? Because that anchors you in the teaching moment of how can I, this is my anchoring position of teaching you. Sometimes you put a chair there, an anchor, an X on the floor, something. There's, you know, I don't recommend podiums, but sometimes I use a high chair, but whatever. That's your teaching moment. So yes, we're in the middle of your story right now. We're in the middle of the book. Teach me. What did you learn? How did you fix that?
So I actually went through the conscious uncoupling and calling in the one courses. I became a certified coach, and going through it, I healed myself. And I saw that I was a contributor or main culprit in creating the divorce in the first place and actually repeated that pattern. And I healed from that. And in healing from that, I healed my family.
And the good news is we just got together for the first time ever as a family this past Christmas. And now everybody's crying and cheering and just, you know, just in love with you, and that you could be their humble guide to help them through this level.
Can I just say something,
yes.
Greg? That was so brilliant. I want you to tell me specific, because when you say, and then I healed, or then I used the conscious uncoupling process, like they're not having an experience. But when you say, I stopped blaming her.
That was huge.
I took responsibility for myself and how I was showing up in these reactive ways that actually undermined our relationship. I saw exactly how I was doing that. And I'd never taken responsibility for that. And that was a wake-up call for me. Don't rush through that, because now you've got all these people in the audience going, click, 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 click. Oh my gosh, I am blaming him. Oh my gosh, I am blaming her. What did I do? What's my responsibility? Right? That's what Lisa means by teaching moment. Don't skip over the teaching moment.
Should I go to the level of I realized that I was showing up from a place of I'm not good enough, and so therefore I was blaming her and I was
making her not good enough.
And making
go for it. Now you're teaching.
Anybody else?
Yes. How
powerful that is?
Yes, that's it. Now you're teaching. Like, really give people something real in that moment.
Yeah.
That they can actually begin to do the inner work within themselves.
And take some time with that, because people will hit core pictures at that point and say, oh my gosh, I never had an example of this. Wow. You know, no, not making anyone wrong here, but wow, that's level, taking the level of responsibility is the key to unlocking you ever being able to have a fulfilling relationship again in the future with your existing family and anyone new.
Yeah. Beautiful, Greg. And that possibility is such a beautiful payoff.
Yes.
Yeah, and it opens me up to not repeating the same mistakes in future relationships going forward.
Right, right. And now close it off by telling us your experience over the holidays, if you're possible.
Yeah, so it was amazing because I have children that are now all over the place, one in Hawaii, one in Philadelphia, two in the far reaches of Missouri, and one in eastern Missouri. That's where my former wife is located, and she has a spare house. So we all converged in her second house, and we basically lived together for 5 or 6 days, fixing joint meals. We exchanged presents for Christmas, and it was a wonderful time. It was really heartwarming and connecting. And I'll take it a step further. For the first time ever, we had a 6-person family circle where things that hadn't been aired from the children's point of view and the parents' point of view finally got put on the table and were healed.
And wow.
This is 22 years it took to get to this place. It was miraculous.
Wow. What a story. Oh my God. Will you put that in video?
And when you say 22, be careful as a teacher. Don't forget you're teaching.
Uh-huh.
So you want to be careful of 22 years it took us to get to that place. That's not you're what you want to leave people
no,
with.
No, you're right. You're right. It was 20 years of not knowing.
And once I learned how to take self-responsibility without making myself wrong, and course correct my how I was showing up, once I really stood in the truth of my value and treated her with respect, everything changed. And now this is what's happening.
And how I can help you.
I love the way you said that, Catherine. Thank you.
And how can I help you shorten your process so you don't have to go through that I went through?
When you don't take 20 years and go through bankruptcy and heartbreak.
Well, the other side of that is for the children. The children are now healing at a different level. And how wouldn't it be wonderful if you can help them heal so much faster and leverage my...
Or I never wound them in the first place.
Exactly.
Right.
So your time, Greg, is, you know, in the beginning you said that your why was because of how helping children navigate through divorce. But what you're really talking to is you're really speaking to the parents of how they can help their children navigate by taking personal responsibility. And that's really all a child wants to see is for the parent to be the model that they want them to be. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that's what our kids want us to be, is they want us to be the best that we can be. And so that we can be a model for them, even with our flaws.
And they want to be safe. They want to know that they're safe and that they're going to be taken care of in that process. That's a big one. And so I really appreciate from a marketing point of view the part that you're making, because I have to get to the parents to get to the children. But I'm actually really passionate about the children are innocents in this space, and it'd be wonderful to also, you know, have that ripple effect that really helps them have.
Great. So you want to teach the parents how to do this well to keep the children safe.
Yeah.
Beautiful, yeah. Greg. Thank you.
Yes. That was so beautiful.
That was great. Awesome.
Thank you both. We
did that in like 10 minutes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm going to have to play this recording over and over again.
Thank you so much. Thanks, sweetheart.
Thank you. Thank you for being open and vulnerable. Okay.
Robin. Yeah. What? Did you want to say something?
Robin Freeman, raise your hand. I'm just looking at the same thing.
No. Yeah. Hi, Lisa.
Hi.
It's an honor to meet you and to be here today with everybody. And this is wonderful. And I'm jumping in because I've been thinking about this a lot and I'm really eager to do it. And so you're giving a great guideline for this.
Okay.
So I have a lot of different things, but I'm going to try to focus in on one or see how you can weave it together, help me weave it together. But I was thinking of a question, do you remember something about, do you remember being a child and, the dreams you had for your life, or something like that?
Let's back up for a second and tell me, Robin, your why. Why do you do what you do?
Okay. I do what I do because I really am called to inspire people. I would say perhaps more women and girls, but it certainly can incorporate everyone. But I feel that I
inspire them to do what?
Inspire them to open their hearts and to live into their dreams and really lead, have happy, healthy connections, love connections.
Tell me why.
The beginning or like my story or just the
why? Why do you want to empower women to have healthy relationships? Tell me why.
Right. Because I know myself, for myself, that it's just so important, that love is everything. And that it's, that when you're feeling connected and loved.
Did you suffer the absence of it?
Oh yeah. Yeah. Okay.
That's what she's wanting to hear.
Getting into. Okay. So more like the childhood. Why?
Tell me what your burning passion reason is, why you want girls and women to experience love.
I don't want anyone to suffer the way that I suffered.
Right.
That love is everywhere. And I lived for years like it was nowhere.
Right. Right.
And so why, tell us about your experience and because I didn't have that. This was my experience. Just shortly and briefly tell us what your experience was.
Right. So I experienced life as love. We didn't talk about love. I didn't see love. I saw two parents together, but I didn't see emotional love. I didn't see physical love. I didn't have a model for that kind of a relationship. And yet I knew, that I wanted love and I didn't get love.
And how did that impact you in your life, in your relationships?
How did it impact me in my relationship?
In your life and relationships, yeah.
Right. So, the messages that I was very focused on doing and accomplishing and being good doing what I was supposed to do, what I thought, to lead to having a relationship, getting married, that was sort of the goal, but I didn't understand, it was more the fairy tale of it, and it wasn't what a real relationship was like,
what wasn't fulfilling. And at one point, did you go through a journey where you woke up to that it was empty, that it wasn't what you wanted? It wasn't a real relationship. It was just the shell of one. Was there a point where you realized that? And what did that look like?
Right. So I was married for 25 years and, went about having children and having this relationship and then realized that the connection, the intimacy, the soul connection wasn't there, that it was, it was lonely. It was very lonely, because it wasn't.
There are so many women in this position. You right. hear this all the time with 25-year marriages ending, and it's usually the woman that ends it. Mm-hmm. And the kids moved out, and they don't know how, or they don't like what they're left with. And so this is the person you're speaking with. You're speaking with her, who has been in this relationship forever. She's let herself go. She's not in a place where she knows if she's coming or going, and oh my God, what do I do about that? My life isn't over yet, although it feels like it is.
Right. So, well, what I wanted just to say to that was that, you know, and I don't know where this fits, but that's the thing is, you know, I was in, it might be jumping ahead, but that I, my identity was, you know, I was a great mother. I was a dutiful wife. I was a teacher. I was a community, you know, person yeah. of community, that I was a rock of the family, but then I had to find my true identity again, and I yep. had.
And this helps you determine your opening questions.
Mm-hmm. So would that be part of this? What I just said
is: Are you everything to everyone else, yet you don't know who you really are?
Okay.
Are you overextended and giving rather than receiving?
Right, giving. Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
Have you ever really, truly allowed yourself to receive true
right.
love?
Right.
Wow.
Those are your opening questions.
Those are powerful questions.
Yeah, and what it wasn't always that way for me. We didn't experience affection in our house. I saw a relationship, but I never saw the physical part of it. Mm-hmm. And this is as a result happened in my life where I'm 25-year marriage. There's no intimacy left. Speaking to millions. By the way, mm-hmm. and then this is how I, you know, how I discovered what to do about it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where your teaching moment is.
Mm-hmm.
What did you do about it? Or are you doing about it?
Right. Yeah. So I remember, you know, just feeling very alone that my daughters at that point were leading, you know, they're either in college, one was in college, one was, you know, they're out with their friends every night. You know, it's a Saturday night. I'm alone. Once again, here I am alone in this nice, great house by myself, you know, and I'm like looking around like, where is everybody? How did this happen to me? Because my husband was a musician and he was out playing and hadn't told me where he was going to be. And, you know, because of we were getting further and further apart. And I was like, holy shit, this is just, like, what the hell is going on here? And so what was your question? I'm sorry.
Yes. So you had this wake up call, this hero, this dark night of the soul.
Right.
How did you?
Right. So I was like, you know, so I've got to do something about this. And so I started, you know, exploring and working on myself and really diving in, you know, deep diving into
what specifically?
Personal exploration. Well, I mean, I started with another program similar to Calling in the One, but that was the beginning, the catalyst. But then I got into, you know, I found Catherine.
And, well, without even talking about the programs, what uh-huh. actually were you looking at? Outside of which program you were looking at it in?
Specifically work.
Okay. Yes.
Yeah.
Specifically were?
Like I made a commitment to myself like no right. one has ever made, or I stopped settling for less. I made a decision to stop settling for less, or, mm-hmm. you know, like what right. did you, what happened to yeah. you?
How did you?
Yeah.
So I started through, you know, this sort of really looking inward and taking the time to figure out again who I was and what, and it was, you know, made a commitment to myself that I was going to put myself first and I was going to learn as much as I could about myself and
live an authentic life.
And live, yeah. Live
and everything up. Begins with a decision. You know, Tony Robbins says mm-hmm. everything begins with a decision.
Right.
Do you have to decide to be able to do this? So tell me what happened. Did you leave? Did you stay? Where are you now?
Well, right. So I mean, we together, well, right, so first we spoke and had this decision of separating, and it didn't, it kind of actually spiraled much faster than I thought, because we made a decision to separate, so I started doing some things on my own and getting out by myself and exploring and just, you know, doing what I needed to do to feel good and to understand myself. And, but quickly, my ex, I learned sort of without him saying that he was in a relationship. There was somebody else. And so, and it was very humiliating the way I found out about it. So that was even more difficult. But I think it was just, it was another catalyst to just realize, like, I had to get my shit together and I had to start living my own life, because he had already.
So I just want to stop you for 1 second. So imagine you're speaking to an audience.
Right.
Okay, so you're not going to say, I made a decision to get my shit together.
No, I mean, it, you know.
And also, and just, you're right on the edge. You guys see right on the edge where you still have emotion on the pain.
Yeah.
Remember when she talked about objectify?
You don't want to get too deep in it. And this
you
is why
the always want to talk about anything like that from a place of self-responsibility. I had allowed so much distance. This would be another way. Now, I don't know if it's true or not, because, you know, we haven't gotten in there. So this is just an example of how you might say that. I had allowed so much distance to happen between us that I wasn't even aware that he had this whole other life going on.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And that he had another relationship already. So my instinct was absolutely spot on.
Take responsibility for that. Yes.
And the smartest thing I did was to start to turn towards what's really true. I'm the decision to live an authentic life. And so he, you know, once we brought it up, he had the freedom to pursue that. That was his authentic life. Mm-hmm. And what happened for me is that I started to come into my power. I've gotten a whole new career. Now I'm in a new relationship that's much more authentic and rich and full. And I want to teach you how to stop lying to yourself in any area where you're living inauthentically.
Yeah.
And start to live in your power and in your truth so that you can have the life that life meant you to have.
Yes.
Right? And so if you're going to go there,
that's what you have to be pointed out.
Squeaky clean.
Yes. Yeah, yes. Clean, right. That's why you do the bullet points and you keep your story concise so you don't get too lost in the pain. Because then you'll elicit pain, which you don't want to do, because then you have an audience sitting there in pain, and then it's your responsibility to get them out of it.
Well, and you're not showing up like someone who can hold the pain of others in that moment.
No.
They're going to start taking care of you.
Yes.
As opposed to you taking care of them.
Yes.
Right.
They're going to come up and give you their business card. Hey, I have a coaching. I can coach you.
I'm a therapist.
Yes. I can help you with this.
Yeah, right, exactly.
This is all part of the journey.
Well,
so
that's where I feel like that's the part that I need help with, is I guess that just, you know, enough but not details, you know, not getting into
You are definitely not alone in that. Everyone gets, that's the whole point of this.
Mm-hmm.
Is so
See, that's why Lisa's doing what she's doing.
Yes.
Because she recognizes, look, she's been telling people how to do this, but she recognizes the value of sitting with you and really going deep with you.
Yeah. That's the whole point, is so you don't get too lost in your story. So you can come from a power place so that you can help other people.
Right.
And from your, and it also makes your experience worth it, girl. I mean, you went through this so that you could help other people, right?
Right.
That's turning your message into your.
And Robin's a wonderful coach.
Yeah.
Robin's a wonderful coach. She's really coming into her own.
I love it.
It's great, Robin.
It's a great way to learn to come into your own as well. And then you say, you know, this is how I can help. And then you don't even need to spend much time on the relation, on the phone number and the program.
Right.
You just, you know, hand it out at that point, because what people are going to remember is your story.
Yeah. So
in the end, you're just saying, so that's the, you know, the middle. And then, so then what's possible?
Are you in a relationship now?
Yes. Yes.
That's what's possible. And so you talk about your relationship a little bit now, how it's different, what you're experiencing, how that you're more conscious and it's more fabulous and more intimate than you ever could have imagined.
Well, and also she changed her life in a lot of ways.
Yeah.
She's a coach now. a relation, like she wasn't a coach before. What were you doing before you were?
I was a French teacher. I was a French teacher.
She was a French teacher.
You know, and I had
her been... life changed. She's living this authentic life now.
Yeah, totally changed everything. Awesome.
Bon.
Awesome.
So just to bon. Say what's possible and how, and then to put it out as
yes.
Come yeah. talk to me.
Great. That's thank fun. You.
Thank
Thanks,
you.
Robin.
Thank you, Catherine.
Who has questions for Lisa? We only have a couple minutes left.
Okay.
Questions. Let's open it up. Questions. Greg, what's your question?
So I keyed in on a specific aspect of what I'm passionate about in terms of working with people, but there are other levels. There's taking relationships to a new level. There's helping people call in their soulmate. And there's also single dad parenting coaching that I like to do. How do I leverage those other topics without overwhelming or confusing?
One message, one audience. So how you need to know your audience. Who yeah. are you speaking with? Are you speaking with the parents? Are you speaking with people who are working on calling in the one? If you don't necessarily know, which it is your job to find out, but it also is a way where you can, you don't want to confuse people too much. Well, I do parenting and I do this coaching and that and this and that. You want to make sure that you're clear with, I help people go through this transition so they can be better parents and the kids feel safe in the process. And when you offer your services, you can also ultimately say the ultimate freedom here is for you to be able to experience a love of your life.
Yeah, and to live the life you love. Yeah, yes. Absolutely. Yeah.
Yes, absolutely.
Great question, Greg. Thank you. Anyone else have any questions for Lisa? Comments about what's opening up for you? What are you learning? It's always good to review what you're learning and say.
Yeah.
What you're getting.
I hope I help people to really get the idea of how you can really powerfully use your message, your story in yeah. helping people in your
mission. Yeah. Jennifer. Let's see, Jennifer.
I just wanted to say thank you. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Thank you so much. I have a very powerful story that I've really been afraid to use because I really haven't known how to construct it properly.
Yes.
And so I have taken like so many notes and I'm like excited now. I'm excited to share my story because it's why I do what I do. And it's, you know, it's very powerful, like the life I've lived and why I'm a coach. So thank you.
I want to know it. I mean, that's so great. You're speaking from a place of such passion. And yeah, I'm looking forward to you sharing it. Good.
Thank you, Jennifer. Good. Jessica.
Hi, I'll try to be brief. I know we're low on time. I wanted to hear a little bit more around like the conversation of eliciting pain, but obviously your story, giving enough of the story so that people really like see and feel you, yes. but without the eliciting pain. I don't know if you can just like elaborate more on that.
There's a difference. And Catherine touched a little bit on this about not telling your story from a place of victimization and not telling your story from a place of being unresolved with it, which is why I recommend telling it from an objective perspective. Imagine you're looking at your story from a very high up, you know, place in the clouds and you're saying, this is me and this was my story, and talking about it from a more objective place rather than going into the story of the abandonment or the abuse or something like that, because you light up other people's pain and they stop listening. Now you've put them in a different direction and they're not healing. They're in too much pain to even listen to the next word you're saying and your advice. You can go into that when you are, you know, when it's appropriate, but when you're initially telling your story, it's a responsible thing to do not to light up the pain of the audience.
Thank you, Jessica.
Thank you.
Yeah, beautiful. I think Janine had a question too. Janine?
I just had a comment and it was, oh my God, this has clarified so much for me.
Yeah.
I had so many stories And each story is good for that particular topic.
Yes.
So when I'm telling the topic about why I'm a coach, I don't want to be telling the piano story. So this is great because for a while there's like, I don't know where to begin with my story because there's so many conflicting stories, but they're not conflicting at all. They're just different stories that apply to different things. So the clarity is amazing. Thank you.
That's great. That is great.
That's great, Janine. Thanks, sweetheart.
That's a great point. Thank you for saying that.
One more comment from Robin. Go for it, Robin.
Thanks so much again. This is just really amazing. I love the structure of it. And I think I was going to say, like, what I would want to do and some of what you said was to get people really excited about the possibilities for their life enough that they take action. So,
yes.
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah.
In the
media mentoring program, I spend time with you in the first session really breaking down your story so that you get the idea of what is the most powerful way to tell it. And then the second session, we put it into this choreography of asking, you know, coming up with the title, asking the three questions, going to the story, to the how you've solved and figured it out, and what is possible. And then the third session is you give that back to me, and it like a, you know, 10-15 minute presentation, and we record everything so that you have it all for your reference to be able to put it on your website or do a Facebook Live with it or something like that. So it's just a whole program that I've laid out so that I can really go deeply, because everybody's story is individual, and working through it is part of the process, which is why I broke it into a three-part session.
I want to just say, first of all, Maddox is saying, this is awesome, thank you. Angela, fabulous, so thank you so much. Beth loves the worksheet. This has been incredible. I want to actually tell you that my entire career is because I knew how to tell a story.
Mm, yeah.
I got a book deal with no audience because I know how to tell a story.
Wow.
I had no audience. I had no track record. I'd never written anything before, but I knew how to tell a story and it grabbed people and I got a book deal. Everything I have done that has been successful. So I just want to, I can't emphasize enough the value of finding your story in a way and telling it in a way that's really compelling. So I want you to just share a little bit. I just put into the chat, everybody, the website that you can go to find out about this brand new program that Lisa has created where she's doing one-on-one coaching. And it's actually very reasonably priced as these things go. I've heard programs that are this price when they're just, you know, the instructor never knows your name. You just buy materials, you come into a big class with a lot of different people. She's right. Talking about sitting with you one-on-one until you get it in your bones, how to tell your story in a way that's going to launch your career. And what can you tell us about that opportunity to work with you live?
Yes, that's the whole point, is that we start off with, you know, unpacking your why, getting to what your goal is. Do you want to do stage? Do you want to do book? Do you want to do code? You know, where are you going with this? And then we break down your story and I can hear and pinpoint what's going to resonate and what isn't based on the years that I've been doing this. And then we get it into this format. And so the first session is an hour, and that's us unpacking your story and getting to the why and the reasons. And then the title comes out of a result of that, because you sometimes go in it from, you know, with a totally different perspective. Then we will put into the second session is putting this format together of your questions and then your bullet points and form, you know, doing this entire worksheet and everything together. And all of these sessions are recorded so that you can reference them. And then the third session is a 30-minute session where you simply give back to me the completed version of your story. You say, hi, my name is so-and-so, and this is that, and you hear question, and it wasn't always this way, and here's this thing, and mm-hmm. how I figured it out, and your future, and here's how you can work with me. And then you give that back to me. And then I'll give you a few notes for that. And then that completes the three sessions. So it gives you the ability to really gain a lot of clarity mm-hmm. around your story. Your story is your unique blueprint. We all have one. We just want to be able to organize it in a way that it can help the most people. Yeah. And that's the way to do it.
Yeah, it's wonderful to sit with the world's best. And be able to do this program for less than $1,000 is pretty extraordinary.
It's my passion. I love this so much. And you can tell, I just love helping people uncover what is their true strength. And then you don't ever have to sell or market. And I mean,
you're just sharing, you're speaking your truth, you're giving gifts.
Yes, yes,
yep.
Yes.
That's gorgeous. It is actually the most powerful way to market without marketing consciously, because you're just contributing to people.
Yes, that's exactly right. So if you have any questions, you can go to the website there, which is theawareshow.com/media-mentor.
And I put it up on under current course conversations in the schedule, because that's where, you know, it's easy to find. So I do have it in the chat box here. Lisa, thank you.
Thank
you. We kept you a few minutes over. I'm sorry.
Okay,
good.
It's been wonderful. Good to see you, honey.
Later. Let's get to unmute the lines. We can all say thank you and goodbye for now.
Thank you, Lisa.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Thank you so much. Thank you.
Wonderful. Learned so much.
Thank you so much, sweetheart. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye.